listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Our home show, middle show of the work week, which means you can ask Amy anything. So find us on our social media, After Hours CBS on Twitter, our Facebook page too. And you don't even really need to read. You can not have your glasses on or your contacts in. You could be half asleep. All you're looking for is, well, don't be half asleep if you're driving. And honestly, don't be looking at social media if you're driving. But just look for the bright orange box when you have an opportunity. And that is where you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So that comes up next hour. We've got the saga of Carlos Correa, the hot stove with some Tabasco in it. I'm not sure I've ever heard of a journey quite like his over the course of a month. Tumultuous, to be sure. It sounds like he's found a home. Not a new home, just a home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. There's a lot of chatter already about the NFL offseason because half the league is starting to figure out what do we have to do moving forward these next few months to ensure that this time next year we're not on the outside of the playoff bracket looking in. So every team that's not in the postseason is already focused on 2023, and that does include the Tennessee Titans. Man, this was dramatic. That's one word to describe it, but a second half of the season in which the former AFC South champions and last year's number one seed fell off a cliff. We're pleased to welcome Rhett Bryan from Nashville. He is a game day host for Titans Radio Network, and I called it dramatic. I'd like to know, Rhett, what are a couple of words or emotions that you would attach to this season for the Tennessee Titans?
Stunning is one. Collapse would be another. You just think about, they started 0-2 and got behind the eight ball. Then they got it together. And at one point in this season, as a matter of fact, Thursday night football in Lambeau Field, Green Bay, they beat handily Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Mm-hmm. For only time all season they'd rung up 27 or more points this season, which tells you their offensive woes.
Yeah.
But that's the last win that they had. That was November the 17th at Lambeau Field. And then they were 7-3 at that point in the season. And nobody really saw a 7-game slide to end the season at 7-10. Just a couple of weeks after the Green Bay win, John Robinson is let go by Amy Adams Strunk as the general manager. It wasn't like totally surprising in terms of the move. It was the timing, because at that point there was 5 weeks left in the season.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's had its twists and turns, no doubt. And then it just had a really bad collapse at the end.
I remember at the point at which they had won 7 of 8 games, I was talking about their identity and a team that knows who it is and how it wants to win and how it wants to approach games. What happened? What derailed them at that point in the season, Rhett?
It's the thing that could have derailed them in 2021. The injury bug has bitten them extremely hard in the last two seasons. They've used an NFL record 177 players.
Whoa.
Between 2021 and 2022. And it started, this is something that was a cumulative effect, and then there was a tipping point at one point where it was just you had more guys on IR than you had you know, your roster looked totally different by some point in the year. So honestly, the first place where it really started was in training camp in August when they lost Harold Landry to an ACL in a non-contact drill, who they'd given a big contract to and had done really well in his first, you know, four seasons with the Titans, and they really missed him immediately. And then you get into the first couple of games of the regular season, Taylor Lewan tears his ACL again. You've lost your starting left tackle, and then you just keep stacking these injuries, whether they're soft tissue or season ending. I think they had a record 31 guys on IR at one point. In one of the last production meetings I had with Coach Mike Vrabel, I think there was 22 or 23 guys on the 53-man roster that were either just free agents or were off of somebody else's practice squad that were playing and not starters and guys that, you know, he and John Robinson had kind of constructed the roster with prior to that.
Then why ultimately is the general manager fired and four assistants if it really was more about injuries?
Well, it's a culmination of a lot of those things. Now, listen, the whole John Robinson thing, the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, I guess had gotten to a point where she was tired of some of the things that were happening. And everyone wants to point to the A.J. Brown trade the night of the draft back in the spring of 2022. Right. And that may have well been the tipping point, but it wasn't the only thing that helped decide that. And to hear her tell it, she had decided some weeks before that had happened that she was going to move on from his services. I think one of the things that kind of sticks out in that is the Julio Jones trade that he had made the year before. In fact, the Titans don't have a fourth-round pick in this year's draft because of that trade. And then they happened to pay him. And that is really what set everything with the Titans being in a bit of cap trouble as the new year approaches in March. Because to make that trade for Julio Jones, they had to renegotiate or redo a year or two of Ryan Tannehill's contract, which put them behind the eight ball with the cap. In fact, they're going to be, I think, $16 million over. So there's going to be a purge of some talent in this. But that is just one part of it. As far as the offensive, the four coaches that were let go earlier this week, Todd Downing, you could almost put the writing on the wall as the slide towards the end of the year, the seven-game losing streak kept, you know, tacking up losses. You could almost see that coming because – if you look at all of the scores in this season, like I said, the Green Bay game on Thursday Night Football in the middle of November is the only time they amassed more than 27 points. There was several games that never got more than 17 points. And, Amy, as long as you've been doing this, you know this. 17 points average in the NFL is not going to get it done.
No.
Not with the Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs of the world and – you know, what the L.A. Chargers are doing now, and certainly the Eagles, who have been just on fire all year, it's not going to cut it. So Todd Downing was let go earlier this week, along with the secondary coach, Anthony Midgett. And that one kind of wasn't surprising because they've been giving up some explosive plays on defense, but they haven't had all their starters in there. And then the offensive line coach, Keith Carter, was also let go. And that was one of Mike Vrabel's original hires when he was named coach in 2018. So clearly the offensive line is going to be a major point of emphasis and change in the spring and the off season and reconstructing that. Cause I don't anticipate that Taylor Lewan will be back at left tackle. It's up in the air as to whether center Ben Jones comes back. Honestly, 4/5 of the starting line could be different in 2023.
Which is a project in and of itself.
It's one of the reasons why, you know, they have 49 quarterback sacks this year. That's almost 3 per game. Oof. You know, another reason why some of these offensive coaches were let go earlier this week.
We're spending a few minutes with Rhett Bryan, who's the game day host of Titans Radio. We're pleased to have him back with us here in the new year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Still, they had a chance to win the AFC South title, which speaks a lot about the division, too. But just looking at the numbers for context, yes, they were 28th in the NFL in points per game at 17.5 is where they finished up. And their passing attack specifically was in the bottom 3 in the NFL. NFL, so not even 175 passing yards. What are they doing, or what are their options at quarterback this offseason?
Well, I think the big thing is seeing how, because again, we've got the Titans have to get a new general manager. They're in process of that now and have been for about a month. And some of the interview candidate list came out earlier this week. But that person is going to have their hands full and what they're going to try to do to get to a cap number to see whether Ryan Tannehill returns as the starting quarterback. He's in the last main year of his contract extension that he got here after he was traded here. And spoke to us in the locker room on Monday and said, I'd love to be back here. And certainly his performances this season and the toughness, you can't argue, because he tore a lot of ligaments in his right ankle, had a high ankle sprain that developed into the other, and ended up having to have surgery with Dr. Andrews in Birmingham. But your point is correct. So, draft Malik Willis in the third round back in the spring. He ends up starting three games. And then what they realized is as they were trying to stop this seven-game losing streak, this time a week ago, here they have a game in Jacksonville with two of their main goals intact in winning the AFC South Division Championship and the title there and making it back into the playoffs. And, for anybody playing a meaningful game in Week 18, despite a slide, you're doing something right, but they just didn't have the personnel there to do it. So they brought in Joshua Dobbs, and 8 days later he starts, the next-to-last game, the Cowboys game on Thursday Night Football, and he starts again in Jacksonville, and he did a really nice job. And then when the turnovers happened the other night in Jacksonville, that was clearly the difference in the ball game in terms of score. But, they have the 11th overall pick, so I don't know if there's a chance they try to draft something or if that's a left tackle they take there. There's a whole lot of questions that have yet to be answered. It's going to be a wild offseason in Nashville with the Titans.
If you look at the roster, would you say there are players who would be untouchable, players that they wouldn't consider purging or trading to try to make the salary cap work?
I would say if we're talking about like a worst case scenario and they're going to do just a massive purge of talent, I would think three names that would not be on the trading block.
Okay.
Because the fan base would have a mutiny. One would be Jeffrey Simmons.
Yes.
The other would be the aforementioned Derrick Henry. And the third one would probably be safety Kevin Byard. Those three guys, if any, would be safe. Of course, I say that, and they'll end up trading one of those now.
No.
I think there are so many things that are open for discussion and on the table in this offseason, and I think that's going to be the biggest part of whoever the new general manager of the Titans becomes is going to have a lot of tasks ahead of him to do. And, Mike Vrabel is going to be consulted about who the new general manager is when they get it down to the final couple of interviews. And, it'd be interesting to see how he and this new general manager work in tandem together to put together a good roster. So
Rhett Bryan is with us from the Titans Radio Network in the wake of what was a collapse in the second half of the season, seven straight losses, and still in that final game against Jacksonville, an opportunity to at least get into the playoffs as a division champion with the AFC South going through a down year. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So you didn't mention any of the quarterbacks, obviously. What was your assessment of Malik Willis in the limited time in which we saw him on the field?
Yeah, he ended up getting three starts, and clearly the first start was in Houston back earlier in the season when Ryan Tannehill first started having problems with a high ankle sprain. And he was clearly, had moments where the moment was a little bigger than him in trying to, make something happen. But a few weeks later, he gets another start and then a third start, and clearly he had made some progress in some places, but you can tell that, he had never really lined up under center when he had played college ball. And, he even talked about Monday when they were cleaning out their lockers about, hand, eyes, feet, kind of all working together, which are the key elements of, making making a good passing game and all the traits of a quarterback. And he said, yeah, I got a lot to learn. But I feel like he made some strides forward. How is he going to be ready in 2023? I don't know. I think that remains to be seen. But he gained some valuable experience in being basically thrown to the wolves because of necessity.
In conversations with players or hearing what they had to say with their exit interviews, what did they say about the season, other than the general disappointment of knowing that it was over?
Well, I think they even feel a heightened sense of uncertainty as to, because, you know, I could not imagine playing, you know, going to war with a guy and being, you know, being around the same guys all season. And then at the end of it, abruptly ending,
right?
You don't know who's going to be back. You don't know if you're going to be a part of that or if you're going to be somewhere different. I can't imagine what they go through with all of that. But yeah, obviously it was disappointment because of the way it ended. And, you know, but they didn't offer any excuses. And they played their rear ends off last weekend at Jacksonville. They really did. They just came up short. Again, they had a bunch of pieces and parts in certain units. And that was the problem, is the injuries came and not just spread out into a couple of places, but it concentrated in areas. The offensive line had a lot of issues with that, and the secondary too. And when you had it concentrated in a couple of position groups, that really hurts what you're doing. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Jacksonville, because Urban Meyer bought the Titans a year in terms of having Trevor Lawrence ready in 2021, because he is clearly really good, and we knew that going into everything, and he's going to be a thorn in the side for the Titans for twice a year for several years to come. And I'm excited to see what they do with the Chargers this weekend in Super Wild Card weekend, because those guys are starting to play. If they can ever figure out some of their defensive stars to get the right pressure on quarterback, they might be a surprise in this playoff.
I'm glad that you brought them up, because I wanted to ask your thoughts on the Jaguars. The Titans played them twice in the last 5 weeks and lost both of those games. The Jags were the only team in the South to finish above 500, and they do it barely. But man, what a surge they put together. So what impressed you about the Jags, a team that you saw multiple times in the last month and a half?
Clearly it starts with the quarterback and Trevor Lawrence, because the young man was the number one pick overall for a reason. And to hear some of some of the guys, that Frank Frangie and Jeff Logman on Jaguars radio, we talked to those guys several times during the year, and it seemed like they kind of had to deprogram a lot of guys after what happened with Urban Meyer in 2021. And as they started to gain confidence, because they started out really slow themselves, but Trevor Lawrence, yeah, much better play for him this year. He had over 4,000 yards passing. Wasn't making the mistakes in terms of interceptions. Now, he's got a fumble issue when trying to extend plays with his body. That's not something he can correct, but he's got weapons. I mean, look at Travis Etienne, who was robbed of his rookie season. What was it? He had an Achilles, I think,
or something.
But that guy's good, and we knew that in college, watching him in college. And, you know, they are healthy. That's the biggest thing in takeaways with them, is they've got a short injury list. I looked at it just a little while ago, and they lost their left tackle, Cam Robinson, but they had they're pretty deep in that area, and could have. In fact, when we talked to Frank Frangie, the voice of the Jaguars, last week, he said this is one of the spots that they could actually afford to lose somebody with a left tackle because of the depth that they have. The Jaguars defense, if they can, you know, continue to force takeaways and make something out of it like they did against the Titans, it's a lot of young talent there. That roster is not
for
very
sure.
Old. And they've got a chance to do. Of course, listen, if you're terrible for several years and you have top five picks, you're supposed to be pretty good at some point, right?
Yes, good point. And they will have a Saturday night game under the lights for the second time in 2 weeks. The Jags are the NFL's new darlings as they host the Chargers in that playoff game on Saturday evening. Coming into this season, there had only been four teams in the entire NFL who had made the playoffs the last 3 years in a row. The Titans were one of them, and now they cycle out. But they did have three good seasons there where they were in, and we'll see what they can do in this crazy offseason. You can find Rhett on Twitter at Rhett B. Tennessee, and he's the game day host for Titans Radio, now launching in to the business of the offseason. So we appreciate a couple of minutes. Happy New Year to you, Rhett. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Always a pleasure.
Just one of those franchises in the NFL that could look starkly different coming up in 2023. And looking for a general manager, then having to fill out a coaching staff. Mike Vrabel sticks around. They believe in what he has done. Amy Adams Strunk believes in what he has done to this point. And yeah, three consecutive playoff appearances until this year, a record number of players on IR, a record number of players used, I should say. But it doesn't make it any easier to take. And yeah, it speaks to the misery of the South. You had one team in both South divisions that had a winning record, and that was the Jaguars, who will host a playoff game coming up on Saturday evening. It's almost here, you guys. All right, it's been some kind of a month for Carlos Correa. So before we get to the end of this hour, we'll talk about his saga, his desperate attempts to find a home. And then also we'll continue through some of the reaction to the end of the NFL season. Ron Rivera sticking around in Washington, presumably, but how can they break out of the rut that they are in? They also have quarterback questions. And speaking of quarterbacks, we hadn't heard from Ben Roethlisberger in a while, but he has a message for Kenny Pickett. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Right. There he runs, and the pitch is hit high in the air, left field. Correa's going to stay at home and watch this. That is out of here. Correa, two-run shot. Twins on top, 4-0.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Carlos Correa has gone through quite a journey over the last month. And so before this hour is up, we'll talk about his home that's not new, but not old. And I don't know, if you think you're leaving, do you still have a home in the place where you're not going to be playing anymore? I have so many questions. So we'll get to that coming up. Don't quite have enough time in this segment to be able to do that. But we will talk about this because I feel like of all of the hot stove headlines and the contracts and the money, and money's relative, right? It's monopoly money at this point. The fact that his journey took such a dramatic turn to go right back to where he was it's fascinating to me. And I hope at some point we get to hear his thoughts about this last week. But yeah, if you look on the internet, CBSSports.com even has a Carlos Correa timeline for the last month. And I don't know that it's fair, but life is not fair. And when you're talking about franchises who are spending hundreds of millions of dollars or looking to spend hundreds of millions of dollars and it's guaranteed money, you can understand why they're a little more protective or why they pay more attention to red flags. Potential red flags, I guess we'd have to call this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week. That will continue in 2023. And then also on our Facebook page, some of your questions pouring in. I know many of you are late to the party goers, and so you wait until the last second right before we get there. But you can certainly take advantage of the fact that you have another hour before we get to Ask Amy Anything. Marco Belletti is here in studio. So just a shorter segment here coming off of our conversation with Ryan, but I have to tell you something crazy.
Okay.
First of all, question. Are you a dreamer where you remember your dreams?
No, very rarely.
Well, that must mean you're sleeping soundly when you get to sleep.
I don't know about that now.
Wait, doesn't your son sleep in his bed now instead of sitting up on
while
the couch?
I'm here?
Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. How much, when you get home, by the time you get home and go to bed, how much sleep do you get?
I get about an hour.
And, ew, and what? Then,
well, I have to get up with them to, with the kids to get breakfast and get them ready for school and all that
stuff.
Why
even bother going to bed for an hour?
I don't really. I sleep on the couch for an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I get back into bed later, and then I get about 3 hours before I pick up my son from school. So I get about four a day,
okay,
broken
so,
up.
You know, no one is going to feel badly for me after that. But no, that's awful.
Everybody's got their own way of doing it, especially the hours that we work. You got to figure it out somewhere. Unfortunately, mine's busted up, and I usually get about, you know, on a good day, maybe I can get four and one, so maybe I can get five.
Ooh, I'd be cranky if I were you. All the time.
Not exactly nice, so that makes sense.
Oh, you're fine. You fake it well. Last week was tough for me because I was trying to flip my schedule for the whole week again, and I just didn't sleep at all, so I was very unproductive. But part of my challenge with sleeping is that I dream so vividly that it keeps me from really getting a sound sleep. But I have to tell you about this one dream. It's still so sharp in my mind. I swear to you, it was real. I mean, I woke up thinking, and then realized it was a dream and was like, oh my gosh, thank heavens. So you may remember, actually, I don't think you were here in the building when I had the flood because it was 2020. It was 2020 when we had those four major storms and there were so many people in New Jersey who had the, you know, the crazy flooding.
I remember.
Well, mine was, my leak when it was raining on the inside was the very first storm, which happened in July. Then we had one in August, another in September, and then we had one in October. The deadly one in October was the one that killed nearly 50 people in New Jersey. So I had my issues back in July where part of a ceiling and walls had to be ripped out because there was a, yeah, there was a bad leak. And as it turned out, a lot of, you know, there was water damage to the walls and to the ceiling. And so I had to have this big repair project. It
mold
took months.
And all that.
Well, in order to prevent mold, they brought in these ginormous, they look like jet engines, dryers that they had going nonstop, louder than heck.
Yeah, I know them well, unfortunately.
Had going nonstop for 4 days, and I couldn't hear anything in the house. Couldn't watch TV. It was it was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that was 2020. No problem since then because I hired a contractor first and foremost to go around and re-caulk all the windows. So he cleaned out the old caulking. My house is about 70 years old, so they re-caulked the old, put in new, and so I haven't had any leaks since.
Okay.
So that's why this dream is so crazy. So I woke up at some point, I don't know, about noontime on Monday, and that's generally when I wake up and I'm like, okay, I gotta get back to sleep. So thankfully on Monday I was able to get back to sleep, whereas last week I could not. But I fell into this fitful sleep where I had this vivid dream that in my bedroom, the room where I was sleeping, all of a sudden I realized there's water damage all over the ceiling, right? And it's getting worse as I'm laying in bed watching it. And all of a sudden there's these drips everywhere, so I need buckets and all my furniture is wet and I'm freaking out.
Oh, no!
It took 9 months for me to get the other water damage fixed because of how hard it was to find contractors. And here I am, it's in my room and it's happening and like the ceiling's about to collapse. Oh no, I have to replace the roof. No wait, the roof was new in 2018. Why is this happening? I'm on the phone with my mom. I'm crying. I'm freaking out.
What the hell is going on right now?
How much money is this going to cost me? Do I have to go through insurance company again? No. Why? And then I wake up and it's quiet and nothing's wrong with my ceiling. And I am so unbelievably relieved. Hmm. And it's still so poignant. Not just my room, but it was my spare bedroom upstairs as well. I mean, this was a nightmare. Hmm. And then I wake up. And there's nothing, and it's quiet, and there's no rain. It's not even raining. I don't know where that dream came from, but it scared the crap out of me.
You gotta look that stuff up. You gotta see what the meanings are behind
really?
All this. Oh, yeah.
Ceiling and water damage?
Yeah.
That's what I have to look up?
Yeah.
You think if I Google it?
I guarantee
dream
you.
Dream about ceiling
I guarantee
and water
you,
damage.
Water damage would be something that it means something psychologically. What it means, I have no idea. Do I necessarily 100% agree with that?
Google it. Dreams
not necessarily.
About water damage.
Oh, I'm telling you.
A dream about water damage in your home. You are overthinking an issue. It indicates an end to some aspect of your life and the beginning of something new.
Told you.
I mean, that's not actually wrong. There is an end to some aspect of my life and the beginning of something new.
Our subconscious is fascinating.
Wait, it says you're overthinking an issue.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why I dream about water damage in my home?
Again, our subconscious is fascinating. If you ever looked at it, I used to have it a long time ago. I had a dream book. Because I did remember when I was younger, I used to try to remember. I used to have to keep like a notepad and a pen because I could never remember more than like 10 minutes. And then I would forget. So I was trying to write some of this stuff down, get a little creative, and look at all this stuff. And I had a book that was like a dream book. This was like, you know, pre-internet and all that.
A dream book?
Yeah, that would explain all this stuff. And I remember, you know, there's ones like, you know, losing your teeth. There's a lot of ones that, you know, if you have recurring nightmares or dreams.
Well, thank God this has only happened once. There's
they
more,
mean something.
Though. Okay, but there's more. Here's another interpretation. The dream of water leaking means you feel threatened or unsafe in your current situation. Here's another one. This one is actually kind of funny because this is not me. Water damage symbolizes an aspect of yourself that you're ashamed of or are refusing to acknowledge. You are refusing to take responsibility for your actions. No, that's not me.
Again,
wait, there's more.
That's the point, but that's what I'm saying. If you ever look into this stuff.
Okay, here we go. Dreams about home water damage suggest feelings of inferiority and ineffectiveness. You are too easily susceptible to negative energy around you. Okay, that's about 7 different interpretations now.
But again, one, it's fascinating. Two,
all right.
Sometimes you can look at it and you can pinpoint and you go, you know, I didn't think of it, but that makes sense. And sometimes that can help you get through whatever you're going through. We didn't even know you were going through it.
All right, well, there's an interpretation for pretty much anything you're going through. Here's one more.
Of course.
This one will make you laugh. Leaking water in dreams represents a leaking of emotions or a loss of power. Oh, well. Here. When do we ever really have power in this lifetime?
That one's a little weak.
That
leaking emotion.
Leaking
like,
emotions.
I mean, I like them when they're a little more sophisticated.
Well, then the first one would be the one that and this happens to me all the time. Part of the reason why I don't sleep well is because I overthink everything and I can't turn my brain off.
Mm-hmm.
Indicates an end to some aspect of your life and the beginning of something new. I mean, that kind of works for every New Year's, every January.
Well, and look, some of this stuff, I mean, we all have our subconscious. Like, we all go through a lot of this stuff. You go through an array of emotions. You get 7 different things, and you're like, well, you know, at some point, that's almost like reading the WebMD. Like, at some point, you're going to hit a
self-diagnose.
Yeah, you're going to hit something. And you're like, oh, yeah, that happens to me, too. My finger kind of hurts sometimes, too. Like, you're going to go through enough of it. There's going to be something there. But sometimes you hit a bullseye, and you're like, oh, wow, that was really cool. I like it for the interesting, fascinating aspect of it. Like I said, I think our subconscious is...
Oh, it's very fascinating. I wish mine wasn't so active. But I'm telling you, I've never been more relieved waking up from a dream, because I was better, yeah, sure than, that it was real, that my entire upstairs was about to get torn down and have to be rebuilt because of water damage.
Yeah, I almost envy that. Like I said, if
what? No, you don't.
No, to know the dreams. Like there are times where I have it where you wake up like almost kind of like in a startle, and you know it for like a couple seconds. You're like, wow, I can't believe that was so real and vivid. And then 5 minutes later, it's like,
fades.
What was?
Yeah,
what was that? What was I talking about?
Yeah.
And I don't remember it. So my brain's like oatmeal. So like after like 5 minutes, I remember nothing. So I know I dream oatmeal. Well, but I don't remember any of them past 5 minutes.
Oh, well, that's a blessing, but also can be a curse depending upon if you dream about someone that you've lost or that you love and it's a sweet dream or
sweet
interaction.
Sometimes dreams are just cool.
Yeah, that's true. Most of mine are nightmares. I will say most of mine I wake up from and I think, oh, thank God.
Yeah, but I'm like I'm kind of like that Twilight Zone horror guy. So I like the cool, twisted, weird.
All right.
I'd like to know what my subconscious is thinking about. I like that.
I will tell you, I watch too many crime dramas, so I do dream a lot about people chasing me.
That's part of it too.
Yeah, I mean, or like people getting into my house when I'm in the house. So those are not great dreams. Those come from being watching too much TV, many dramas.
So that one, I'm not gonna. You can have my crap shack. I don't care. Take it. Sways in the wind. Go ahead.
Thank you to Marco Belletti for helping me self-diagnose my water damage dream. Let's hope that does not happen again. It was a relief to wake up, though. All right, you've got an hour to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. Coming up, the unbelievable saga of Carlos Correa, a month unlike any other.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Money Holm comes home, and the pitch, a swing and a fly ball, center field deep. Going back is Grisham at the track, at the wall, that's gone. Carlos Correa to straightaway center field here at Petco Park. That's the swing we needed to see from C4.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Twins Radio, Carlos Correa with his most recent home. And has this last month really taken him full circle? That is the question. According to the latest reports, now be careful what you believe when it comes to Carlos Correa, or I guess more pertinently, be careful about getting too attached to Carlos Correa, because he has had multiple agreements with teams over the last month. The reports were agreed to terms with the San Francisco Giants and the New York Mets, and yet here we are. And it appears in the latest reports that he's headed back to Minneapolis. All right, so the report is a 6-year, $200 million deal with the shortstop after a lengthy back and forth with the Mets. It wasn't nearly as long a back and forth with the Giants. The Mets swooped in, thought we'll take advantage of the Giants' hesitation, And then as it turns out, they didn't get the concessions they wanted from Correa and his agent, Scott Boras, by the way. And Correa wasn't comfortable with what the Mets were asking him to do either. So back to the team that is, I don't want to say most familiar with him, but has most recently had him on the roster. Wow. Raise your hand if you've had a month with as many twists and turns and stops and starts and surprises as Carlos Correa. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just really quickly to refresh your memory about the timeline. Going back to December 13th, he was signing with the San Francisco Giants. And this was an agreement that would have been 13 years, $350 million. I remember the Tuesday before Christmas, I wasn't working that night, or maybe it was the Wednesday before Christmas. I wasn't working the night before. And producer Jay calls me and says, "Did you hear the news?" "No, what news?" And we play this whole game of, can you guess? A high-priced free agent who just agreed to terms with the Mets. And I'm thinking, and I'm naming a bunch of names, and I can't get it. And he gives me, I keep asking for hints, and he gives me some hints, and I finally say, "Oh, Carlos Correa?" So that was the Wednesday before Christmas. And at that point, the deal was 12 years, $315 million. So went from 13 years, 350 to 12 years, 315, and yet they never signed it. Still going back and forth on a plate. So it's a surgically repaired part of his lower right leg near his ankle where a plate was inserted when he was a minor leaguer. And yet the physicals with both the Giants and the Mets made the teams uncomfortable. And ultimately, they wanted Correa and his agent to make concessions, either injury concessions or money concessions or not the same number of years. They just weren't comfortable with the deals as they were first constituted. And so now he's headed back to Minneapolis. Here's Odyssey baseball insider John Heyman with why, the whys of this deal ultimately fizzling with New York.
The Mets wanted to mitigate the risk. They felt there was a risk. I don't know, it's very difficult to gauge, to pinpoint exactly when that risk will come into play. Carlos had the injury in 2014, hasn't received any treatment, nor has he been on the injured list for that injury since 2014 when he was in the minors, but two doctors did flag it, and certainly the Mets were cautious about it. They wanted to mitigate the risk, and over the first 6 years, which are the guaranteed years, the Twins did offer $42.5 million more. The Mets were being careful. They also, my understanding is the Mets also wanted to give Carlos a physical every year of the contract as well.
So there are a couple of different steps there, hoops that Carlos Correa was not willing to jump through. And I feel like it's so important to underscore, this is an injury that occurred in 2014. He's not had any issues with it since then. But the Mets are concerned, the Giants were concerned, that at some point the wear and tear on his body and his ankle would lead to issues with this surgically repaired part of his leg and the plate that was inserted. So he's got a deal with Minnesota, who's most familiar with him. Most recently, he didn't have any issues with the ankle last year with the Twins, and so they're bringing him back. But the deal instead is for about half the number of years. Now, it's a significant amount of money, $200 million, but it's only 6 years. I guess, theoretically, if he plays through those 6 years, and he still, remind me how old he is, he's in his mid-20s, right? If he plays through those 6 years, and he does well, and there are no issues with him, then he could sign another free agent deal and make more guaranteed money on top of this $200 million. Now, according to John Heyman, he's 28. Thank you, Jay, for confirming. According to Heyman, the portion of the exam that revolves around Correa's ankle has already been completed with the Twins. And so that should not be a holdup with his returning to Minneapolis. But my goodness, first you think Bay Area in 13 years, And then very quickly, it breaks down because they're concerned about the physical. So you jump, you and your agent, you take the money that the Mets are offering. The Mets don't learn from the Giants' hesitation. It's a few weeks later, and the Giants look like the winners. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.